Welcome to the Livelihood Matters podcast. I'm your host, Melinda Francois, a business coach, strategist, and project manager. I help people like you to package their unique knowledge and skills to create multiple streams of income and build sustainable online businesses. I've gone from being broke, living paycheck to paycheck, to building a five-figure coaching and consulting company. I did this by overcoming my scarcity thinking, and I've mastered the art of my thoughts, habits, and words to create the life I want for myself. I want to help others to tap into their higher self to create a business they love and to reduce dependency on one stream of income. We each have gifts that can be explored, and this podcast will help you to get the confidence to maximize your potential, to achieve what you want, and take the desired actions to accomplish them. I'll be sharing tips on scarcity mindset, generational poverty patterns, business strategy, online marketing, habit building, and content creation. Growth is intentional and does not have to be lonely. And I'm here to help you build generational wealth one step at a time by taking a look at the whole picture. Hey guys, welcome back to Livelihood Matters podcast. We are back this time for season two, and this time we are coming back with a whole new energy. Guys, since we launched in April, I have released 13 episodes, and these were very interesting foundational episodes, which I really wanted to share because they would have helped you to understand the mission behind what I'm trying to do, which is breaking generational poverty patterns to help you move from just surviving to doing things which are impactful and purposeful. But before we dive into season two, I'd like to give you a quick life update. So number one, I am now an executive contributor for Brains Magazine, which is a very prestigious business magazine. And two, I launched my group program, which is designed to teach side hustlers and new coaches to grow their online business with ease. The program is heavily focused on mindset and strategy for building your business, while simultaneously focusing on sales, content creation, battling procrastination, and juggling it all. We have so much in store for this season with our new theme, Stepping Into Your Higher Self. We are not holding back, we are elevating. And what you can expect this season is a few guest interviews from experts who will be sharing on various topics such as masculine and feminine energies, job drama, high performance habits, hormonal health, money mindset, trauma, project management, side hustling, authentic living, and more. So guys, thank you. And we are going to start into our season two with our very first guest, Michael Tabiradi. And today, Michael is going to tell us all about himself as a high performance coach. And we are going to ask him a few questions. So Michael, the floor is yours. Tell us about yourself, what you do, and how can you help?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Melinda. So again, as Melinda said before, my name is Michael Tabiradi. I'm a high performance coach and mentor. And in the corporate space, I'm an independent consultant for the government working for the Department of Health and Social Care. So usually what I say to people is I help self-starters and ambitious professional millennials increase their productivity, enhance their priorities, really understand what purpose they have in order for them to be more productive as human beings. And so this is where this whole space of high performance and authentic living comes into place. So again, from a very sort of coaching standpoint, I usually work with people one-to-one, usually in the sort of like career space or sort of like business capacity, and really getting them to understand how can they actually reach peak performance or at least get to high performance, which I see as a range, in order for them to get more sort of dividends, get more results, so that they can actually be satisfied with their lives and actually lead it in a way that is more aligned to their authentic and core self. So that's effectively what I do. And a little bit here and there, I do sort of like facilitate weekly sessions, mm-hmm. known as a personal development hangout, which is really cool. Free sessions on Fridays. Got people in a closed group, so that's growing. I also do YouTube videos. You've seen my Instagram content as well.
I have.
And lots of many other things as well. Okay. Many other things, yeah.
Okay, thank you for this, Michael. You mentioned authentic leadership, and that is something that I want to hear more about. Tell us, how does high performance connect to authentic leadership?
That's a very good question. I truly believe that we need to get to a stage of brutal honesty. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're not really accustomed to understanding what reality looks like truly for us, then we're never going to create efficiencies. And so with this whole idea of authentic living, it's about understanding that if you're true to your core set of values, and only you can really establish what those are, then you're going to more effectively and efficiently live a life that is more impactful and more meaningful. And when you have that feeling, you get to a point and understanding of actually, if I'm doing things that follow my joy and excitement, as my friend Daryl talks about, then you're more energetically going to be able to complete tasks that really reap high performance results. And so it's incumbent upon us to really sort of like be accustomed to understanding the lies that we tell ourselves every single day and stripping them so we get to a point of authentic living or at least honest living. So that's how I think those two work. If you can be more authentic and honest as an individual to self first, then you're going to reap more. I personally believe, at least anyway.
I like the fact that you said that, because one of the things that I've realized is that if you are not working in alignment of yourself and who you are, you will not be able to perform on a high level. And when you say high performance, for some people, high performance might be doing something consistently every day. For others, it might be being quite aware of themselves, being able to do things that aligns with their core values and being able to show up. But in the whole essence, what would you say would be considered high performance habits? Like, I read the book High Performance Habits. I've heard about high performance, but for some people, they look at it differently. In your own capacity, based on what you do, what are the core skills or the characteristics of a high performance individual in their professional life, in their business? What would you think that someone needs to be considered high performance?
It's a very good question. I think it's about breaking down what high performance actually means. So, if you're thinking about performance, that's pertaining to a set of metrics or a goal that you're trying to achieve or obtain. So, in this instance, you're trying to be above average or above normal in context to whatever you're measuring that to. So, high in this instance is better than average or normal. So, you set that standard. Sometimes those standards could be set through society, failures that people have had, successes that people have had, et cetera, et cetera. The difference here is a high performance person, as you quite rightly said, I believe, is that they consistently do things that enable them to reap results that is of a high performance, not peak, because I don't think you can be peak all the time, but you can be up within a high range. And so for me, I have this model. Okay, so it's broken down into four different bits. You've got audacious authenticity, which we've kind of highlighted before, which is having the bravery to be yourself. Because if you don't have that, then it's going to be very difficult for you to move forward. The next thing is crystal clarity. So how can you get to a point of transparency and being very clear about what needs to be done to get from Z to Y or Y to Z? The thing after that is what I call considered communication. So having a way to influence, lead, and exchange information with people so that you can get your point across to obtain the resources, the systems, the spaces that you need. And then the last thing is voracious vitality. If you don't have the energy, okay, to really put into what you want to do, high performance does not exist. This comes down to how you eat, what activities you do, who you surround yourself with, who you listen to, what you consume. So for me, those are the four pillars at least that makes a really good high performing person or individual.
What captured my attention was the clarity, because you see in this online space that a lot of people are asking about, finding their purpose, being clear about what they do. Even if they are in business, they still feel like they are lost. They're trying to figure out what to do. Tell us more about clarity. How do you find clarity in your concept as a high performance coach? Tell us more about this.
It's a very good question. I think clarity comes from adversity in many instances. And adversity really is set upon us through really understanding our past experiences. I mean, there are things that have happened in our lives that have really sort of like conditioned us a certain way. It's known as introjection in psychology. And so looking back at your past, you can understand where you've been in states of being, where you're reflecting and everything else, and a state of doing, where you're actively doing stuff. But from those different points, you can actually understand what do I like, what don't I like, what do I need to compromise in context to how I want to be? Because whether we agree with this or not, we're all chasing some form of feeling. I feel hungry, therefore I need to eat. I like this woman, so therefore I need to go and, move to them or whatever it may be. So this really defines our set of values, what we deem to be important, what we truly believe. And so with those values sets an intention in terms of who we want to become. Some people describe it as our purpose. I say, who do you want to become? Because that changes as life goes on. And so I think it's incumbent upon us to understand what we truly deem as important first through that introspection, then defining who we want to become, and then looking at those attributes and working backwards to say, okay, cool, how do I actually turn this into a plan for the next 90 days? If you've read the book, The 12-Week Year, they talk about this quite eloquently in terms of how you can systemize that in a really coherent fashion. So that's how I approach it, at least. And this is how I approach it with my clients as well.
Okay. I like that. And it is important for people to understand that and have the clarity, because one of the things that I started this podcast for is to help people understand that how you were conditioned growing up is not how you have to live the rest of your life. And that's why I say livelihood matters. We make decisions to work on ourselves. We make decisions to go to a particular school, to do certain things, to aspire for goals based on what we were taught. And it's not what we truly want. Some people don't even really want that. They are doing it because they are told they should be doing that thing. And people get lost. They are just going with the flow, trying to blend in. And what happens is they reach to a point where they have no form of, what I say, peace. They are just living the same repeated cycles. They are doing things that are just because they are conforming to laws, and they are not being their true self or their authentic self. And that comes from lack of clarity, because they do not know who they want to become. So I would say, I want to become somebody who is impactful, who will help others realize that life is much more than just a job or having things. It's about being a person who is living and not just existing, appreciating every single day, being able to speak to somebody and make a change in their life, being able to get up and do what you love and get paid for it, not just work a job. So who you want to become is very essential, very important for you to know, and that comes around clarity. Now, what I find is persons are going through the whole, I say, the world of work, and they are following this busyness culture, all of these things that they are telling us we should do. And you are busy, you are always on the go, hustle, but it affects your life, it affects your health, it affects relationships. But are you really productive during that time? And I know high performance somewhat correlates to productivity. How would you guide somebody who wants to be less busy but more productive by implementing high performance habits? What would you say to somebody on that level?
Yeah, so effectively, it's about really breaking down what their day-to-day activities look like, okay? People usually say, I don't have enough time, et cetera, et cetera. We all have the same amount of time in the week, 168 hours, you know, to be exact. And so it's not about time management, it's about activity management, or in some instances, energy management. And so if I want to liken it to a book known as Make Time, they talk about busy bandwagons and infinity loops. So busy bandwagons is effectively being busy for being busy's sake. I had a rugby teacher who said to me one time, you're most successful when you're busiest. And I was only 15 when I heard that. And I thought, great advice. Now I think that's terrible advice. You're not most successful when you're busiest. You're just inevitably avoiding or not really necessarily approaching the things that need to be approached. The second thing is removing yourself away from infinity loops. Mm-hmm. So for example, Instagram, Reels right now, TikTok, you just keep on scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. It's crazy.
Yes.
And so it's almost like, what mechanisms can you put in place to reduce those distractions? Mm-hmm. So really this comes down to things like technology. You may be using Chrome extensions to block the feed and only show you a quote as an example instead of the feed. You may be using accountability buddies or mastermind groups to remind you, encourage you, and really check you for the goals that you're trying to achieve. You know, you may get an informal or formal coach, business, mentor, supervisor, trainer, counselor, wherever it may be, to make sure your thinking is correct, aligned to what you're doing. And so it's about putting in, it's about recognizing where you are, knowing where you need to be, and putting in those different measures in place in order to prevent those different distractions. So that's broadly how I'd approach it. But again, each person is unique based on their situation.
I can imagine. And that is something a lot of people struggle with. I remember when I started my business, I was super focused, but somewhere in between, I had to change my focus to something else. And I found it very difficult to resume. How could I get back to a place where I'm highly focused, but still effective and not burnt out? And that was something that took a few months for me. And I'm not sure why, but like you said, the distractions and perhaps the environment or different things around you. And I'm seeing a lot of that. Persons are doing things, but I will not say that we are aiming to have high performance habits. I want to see more people have high performance habits to do things that are leading them towards their goals. So they would set goals, or we would set goals, but the goals, like you say, are infinite. There's no time frame to get things done because there's no pressure. What if there's no pressure for them to get the accountability? How do they do it from the inside? How do you, as an individual, get to the point of wanting to perform highly from your inside? What intrinsic motivation do you need? How would you say somebody can do that without having any external influence?
It's a great question. It's a great question. I mean, the reality of the situation is we're in as much control as we think we are. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. And usually, you know, after the age of 25, adversity is the thing that kicks us up the butt. That's what happens. So there are going to be some people, unfortunately, who will never, ever be privy to this until something really bad happens. Mm-hmm. But usually this is onset by an extreme feeling that we get. And that feeling informs our thinking. And so you can either wait for that to happen, or you can artificially create that, if I use that language at least, through listening to, you know, different audible books or motivational things, or reading, speaking to different people, et cetera, et cetera. But it starts with you as the individual. And so once you've had that feeling, you're like, I know I want to avoid this. I know I'm motivated usually when I'm angry or someone has done me wrong. And I'm like, I'm not letting that happen again.
Exactly.
But I can't engineer that, can I? Because that wouldn't be very productive of my time. So during that realization, that's when I'm thinking, okay, what is everything that I'm doing in my life? How does this link in with my values? And how can I prioritize my life in such a way? So I aggressively, and I use that term very, very carefully, aggressively get rid of anything that doesn't match up. Because it has to be that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, some people may sit down watching Netflix or watching all these different things because, they feel tired and stuff, blah, blah, blah. But it's that feeling that is telling you that you're being tired. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not to say that you're not tired. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. We need rest, because part of high performance is part of, you know, being someone who can actually perform to a high level. Mm-hmm. But in the same instance, it's being able to know that distinction. Mm-hmm. It's being able to know where you're trying to avoid things. So I would say, to answer your question, usually it's a feeling from adversity that really triggers that action to start doing things. Then it's your responsibility to keep up those habits. Because, so just one more thing, because I know I'm talking a lot.
Well, that's okay.
For me, this year has been fundamental because I've shifted from just purely being absorbed by the future and end state to focusing much more to my day to day. That has been a fundamental shift for me. I know what my end goal is in my mind, at least, and it's been written down. But the day-to-day habits are more important.
Oh, yes.
So just being clear of that, do you know what I mean?
Yes, like, I know. The daily habits are so important.
Of course. And I say that for two reasons. One, it just keeps you in that rhythm, and you can always use that as a way to measure against whether you're on track or not. But two, there is this whole idea of creating a routine of set habits that creates a state. It's about creating that state. And if you can get into that state consistently, then you're really sort of like reprogramming your mind and your body and your spirit to actually be attuned to those habits, so then you can reap those results, and becomes that feedback loop. It starts with action, results, then it goes to, I think it's belief, and then belief and then potential, and then it goes round again. It's just that's the success cycle, so to speak. And that's what we're trying to engineer as high performance individuals.
Okay, thank you for this. When you said habits, that is something that caught my attention, because I think essentially habits and discipline are the foundations of working towards high performance, like you said, the daily habits. So if you know the end goal already, what do you have to do to get there? And you reverse engineer, you work backward to get to that goal. And that is something that I teach as well when I coach persons. If you want to accomplish something in December, you set the date and you work backwards. What do you have to do each week? What do you have to do each day? Because time doesn't wait for you. Every time that you waste is time that could be spent doing something else. And like you say, you have to rest in between. You cannot be working all the time. So in order for you to be able to have the business, to accomplish your goals, to still enjoy life, because life is not just about business, you have to be disciplined and be able to maintain the habit. So whether the habit is waking up earlier every day, deciding to read a book, deciding to write something every day, spend an hour exercising, whatever that habit that you decide, make sure you do it consistently. And I think that is where most people struggle, in having these habits. And I read this in Atomic Habits. And one of the things I love about James Clear's book is he said, Your environment affects your daily habits. So if you know you want to do something, do not go on the couch to sit down to do work. Have a dedicated area, dedicated desk where you know you go there and you sit and you get the work done. But if you go on the couch, you're going to get sleepy. Or don't go on the bed to lie down to read. You're going to sleep because the bed has been known for sleeping and resting. Your body goes into a calm, relaxed state. So, you know, the simple things. And he spoke about doing something that you want to change. So you know you want to eat healthier. Buy more fruits, put it on the counter, put it in a bowl so you will see it. So it sounds simple, but it's a simple habit. And even for myself, I had to learn the important habit of reading. So I started, I wanted to read a book. I bought the book and I had to put the book everywhere. I go to work with it, I carried it with me. And eventually I read different parts of the book daily. And that's why I developed the habit. And you start slowly. So I think the habits and the discipline are very important. And it is the hardest part for people to pick up. That's where most people struggle. And what I want to tell my audience is, when you're starting up, it's going to be hard. And I don't think we covered that, but I think your mindset affects what you do. How do you feel about yourself? And I guess it comes back to the awareness and what values they have. What do you want? Who do you want to become? If you do not have any goals or any motivation to become something, how are you going to push yourself? You exactly. understand, how would they push themselves to do something or to even know what it is to perform at a higher level? Some of them might be doing something their entire life and they think it's okay. So what would you say to somebody like that? Like, they want to change, but they're not aware that they actually have to change and they're just comfortable with the circumstances, not realizing that is why they are living the same reality every day.
It's a very good point. I mean, it's a rude awakening for a lot of people. I mean, there's a great exercise via the Wheel of Life, and the Wheel of Life just basically highlights, you know, 5 to 7 different areas categorically that we may have. So career, finances, romance, all these different things. And what I say to people is that, you know, rate yourself out of 10 in terms of how you're feeling, in terms of satisfaction out of these different areas and categories. And that will give you a really quick idea in terms of, okay, why do I feel like this? And you can really write that out or talk to someone about it or whatever you need to do to express that eloquently to really identify what your situation looks like. And then the best thing to do, and you can see it's the same model in program management, project management, it's all the same model. It's the same thing. Current, you know, future, what's the gap analysis? Mm-hmm. This is all gap analysis work. So you think to yourself, what would a 10 look like for me? And if you don't know, you would need to research that. You would need to understand the themes. You would need to really be clear about what success and failure looks like in context to you, but getting information from other stuff. And then that's where the planning comes into play. Then you can say, right, okay, what's the first action I need to take?
Exactly.
Because like you quite rightly said, it's about mindset. Defined as the established set of attitudes that one has. And if we think about what mindset is, it comes from attitudes, it comes from beliefs, and it comes from assumptions. And just really coming back to what beliefs are an accumulation of lightly held assumptions that you hold to be true based on the past.
On the past.
It doesn't mean it. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't
mean it's true. Yes.
It doesn't mean it's true at all.
Exactly.
So we have to be in a state of consistently reminding ourselves of that fact and coming to this point of, look, life is painful. You need to decide what pain you want to choose.
I like this.
You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Do you want the pain of success or the pain of regret? Which one do you want? You know, and it's fundamentally down to you.
It is, actually, it is. And I think as well, the people you surround yourself with. Because 100%. Most times, I would say culture. We live in the Caribbean, and why I am doing this podcast is because the culture of entrepreneurship is not popular. A lot of people do it, but to believe that you can aim for entrepreneurship first without aiming to be an employee is not normal. Most people want to be an employee than an entrepreneur, and I want to break that culture. I want to see people who will educate themselves to an extent and continue lifelong learning to grow a business. But we are not being encouraged to do this. So if you decide you want to become an entrepreneur, it looks like you are extra, you want too much, or it's so hard. So the first advice you get is so hard. Yes, it is hard. Like you say, life is hard. So persons do not have that that's around and that pushes them to do more. So, you're just doing things because, it is now, like you say, an adversity. So perhaps you're struggling financially or you're realizing that times are changing, so you want to do something different. But I think it stems from so many things, like you say, your beliefs. So if you believe that you can rise to the top and you're in the corporate job, you go for that. Why not? And your family tell you to go for it. You meet your partner and they tell you to go for it. So you go for it. But deep down, something is missing. You know that is not what you want. You are doing it because you know you are being accepted by others for doing it. But deep down, you just feel like you want flexibility, you want freedom, you want to do something else. And it's not about the money, but it's about how it makes you feel as an individual, where you can be your best self, where you can make an impact and change people.
I fully agree with that. I'm not gonna lie to you. And you said something that triggered something very quickly. In coaching, they say, in order for someone to be successful as a client, they have to be willing. There's a 7-step process that I'm not going to go through because I've forgotten it. But in the middle, it's almost like a tipping point. If they do not decide or commit that they want change, it's never going to happen. But as you quite rightly alluded to, the environment, the conditions, and the encouragement doesn't accelerate that process. So the willingness has to be there. It has to be there.
And then when you are going on a path that is new and you are navigating it, you have to look at people who have done it before. But what if you
100%.
cannot find people in your circle who's doing it?
I mean, the best thing to do is to apply a sense of logic here. That's all that can be done. And this is where I like to invite critical thinking, creative thinking, all of these different things there. If you can't find anyone that hasn't done it, what other avenues in terms of a horizontal landscape can you see where you can pick things from? Because we can learn from so many different stuff. And those are the different things that one needs to do. They need to be resourceful because you're not going to get everything thrown at a plate. So in your instance, not everyone in your environment wants to be entrepreneurial, but you're finding ways to do it.
I
You are
know.
finding ways to do it. So it proves that it's possible. What about the first person who didn't have any basis? They did it. We went from that, so it is possible. And I think it's that belief and understanding that it is possible, but you have to do some work.
You have to do the work, you have to believe that you can get it done, and you have to understand it's not going to be easy. I think most people look for the easy way out, the easy things that they can do. And when something becomes difficult, they see it as they should not follow it. But sometimes you have to pursue and go for it. Go for the adversity. And after this, you will realize the real benefits because you're not going to get anything that's worthy so easily. You have to work hard for it. There's a period where you work hard and then you start to reap the benefits, reap the rewards, you relax, and you enjoy life. But some people want to start and they want to get the benefits right away without actually doing the work, going for the adversity and learning the lessons. You have to make mistakes. You're gonna fail. You have to see what you don't like. So you might start a business and you realize that somewhere down the line it's not for you. You stop. But most people have to deal with shame. They have embarrassment. They have fear of failure.
Come
So
on.
they don't do these things. And that's what I think is the biggest setback of people. They're afraid. They don't want to fail. You have to fail. That's part of learning. You have to fail. You have to see what you like, what you do not like. And I'm like, what if you'd never tried? If you never tried, how are you going to succeed? And that's how you try, you start.
100%, 100%. Like you quite rightly said, and I say this all the time, life is one big fat experiment. And so trying is just data. Trying is an opportunity to learn. Trying is an opportunity to actually see if you can actually gain this and see what works. And I think what's sometimes missing here is the awareness piece, I think not really understanding how the mind works. I mean, I've spoken about this previously before, but I'll bring it very quickly now. There's this book called Chimp Paradox, and he's got a
Oh,
seat board.
I have it. I love that book. I have
It's a
it.
fantastic book.
Yes.
And there's a sequence called Silent Guides, which is a follow-on from there. And so for those who haven't read it, this Dr. Pete Stephen Peter says, the mind is broken up into two but three parts. So the first part is the human. Okay, the human is the logical and rational part of the brain and questions things. Okay, it's part of the dorsal lateral frontal cortex in our brain. And then you've also got the second bit, which is the machine,
The
broken up into
machine.
the chimp and the computer. Now, the chimp is powerful. It wants its own way. It's raw emotion.
Yes.
It feels things. It reacts, okay? And it gets information before the human. Now, the computer can't make any decisions, but it stores information. And it helps to advise the chimp and the human when it comes to this stuff. So this is where it stores values, beliefs, habits. And so the aim of the game is to work with the chimp so the chimp doesn't destroy the human and then you're just doing anything crazy.
I know.
So a lot of us are working on chimp energy.
Yes, it's bad.
But working with our inner human. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand. You react emotionally. So then the first thing that comes to your mind, you do it without thinking of the logic behind it.
Yes, exactly.
That's the
issue. Exactly. And so with having that stoic space and understanding, again, I'm quoting Viktor Frankl here, between space and stimulus, there is between space and stimulus, there is a response. And therein lies our freedom and our growth, which basically means, like you've just said, rather than just reacting, we have the power to decide and choose how we want to be, do, feel, and act.
Mm-hmm.
We do have that choice, and we do have time to think about it. The result may not be great, but we can still decide. And understanding that is a really important point where it comes back to that whole sort of pain idea. What pain do you want to choose?
Exactly.
Which comes back to the high performance idea. Do you really want this life? Are you about this? Don't say it. And
yes.
Not do it.
I like this. And this is something that we need to be aware of as human beings, as entrepreneurs. We need to learn to understand ourselves, understand how we think for true. So that way we can be able to make better decisions. We'll be able to know how to react in different situations, and it is okay to have feelings, to feel a particular way.
Of course.
What are you going to do about it? Are you going to let it define you? Are you going to let it keep you at a particular level? It is natural. The human being must experience emotion. And some of us, we avoid it or we just get sunk in it. That's the issue. So we need to find a balance as to whether you want to be, yes, you feel embarrassed for failing at your first venture. But are you going to stay embarrassed? Are you going to try again? Are you going to make the effort to do a different thing and see what worked, what didn't work, and try a new approach? What lessons did you learn? And that is what I think we need to be able to do simple, be able to transition easily into that state and don't feel any attachment to what people will say, but remember who you want to become in the process.
100%. 100%, man. Couldn't agree more.
Yes, I think that is so important for us to understand. But Michael, I really, really appreciate this. And one of the things I want you to tell me before I leave, before we end our interview, is how can you help persons? What do you do? Tell us about your programs and your offers. And if somebody wants to reach out to you, what do they have to be willing to do? How can you help them? Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so I'll start off with the sort of funnel. So again, I'm quite active on Instagram and YouTube, so you can check out my stuff. Quite frequently do lives on a weekly basis. So every Wednesday, there's the Mastery Men sessions. We talk about basically everything we've discussed now. So if you want more of that, that's Wednesday at 6 o'clock GMT time.
Mm-hmm.
I also do a monthly live with the MVP. So it's a really motivational sort of space. Again, on Instagram, that's the last Tuesday of the month. In addition to that, again, if you want to be part of my community and ecosystem, you can sign up to my newsletter. I'm actually doing a free event online, which I run. So again, I'm talking about high performance and also talking slightly about how you can be an expert and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for something more sort of like deeper, then I do one-to-one coaching. Like I said, this is usually career coaching. I'm going to call it business life coaching because it's not completely business coaching, and also life coaching as well. And for anyone who's looking to be a coach themselves, I'm actually going to be launching a program where I work with you one-to-one, where you can actually learn sort of the strategies, the concepts, the knowledge, the understanding, and what you need to do to actually get out there to become a coach as well. So those are the things I have there on offer. And they can check out the link in my Instagram if they want more.
Thank you so much for this, Michael. I think a lot of people will find value from it because we want to do better. I think we all want to learn how to improve ourselves, but we do not know where to start. So I really hope that this episode is something that people can find value from and they can really, really implement it. So I really appreciate your time. This was a lovely conversation. We'll be having more, perhaps live next time. And thank you so much for doing this interview. Until next time.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, you can follow me on Instagram at Melinda Francois or at Livelihood Matters Podcast. You can also join me inside of my one-on-one coaching container or inside of my group program, Breaking Generational Poverty, where I teach you how to package your knowledge and skills into a sustainable online business. I'd love to hear from you. And guys, please share this episode with a friend and see you next time.